Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
We have a special guest today, Dr. Michelle Rabideau. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic physician, and we welcome you here, Michelle.
Thank you.
May I call you Michelle?
Sure.
Okay. Well, would you just tell us a little bit? Well, you know, one of the things I want to say right from the beginning is that, you know, we read the headlines, there's so much bad news, there's so many discouraging things, and yet all over the world, people are saying yes to Jesus and following him. I know you have a story of how you said yes to Jesus and are following him. Could you just tell us a little bit about your story?
Sure. I was not raised Catholic. I was raised in a small evangelical United Methodist church and trained early to love Jesus and to love the scriptures. And I just grew in that with the help of my Sunday school teachers and my family. And that was something that has been important to me for as long as I can remember.
It's tremendous. What a blessing to follow Jesus from an early age.
Yes. And in college, I was involved in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship and was leading Bible studies and just was really challenged to go deeper into Scripture and to give myself more completely to Jesus. It wasn't a single decision or a single moment, mm-hmm. but it was more of a growing into a love of the Lord.
Yeah, that's just so beautiful. And how did the whole Catholic thing come about?
Well, I had a
and the doctor
really...
thing and all those things. Yeah, so we got a lot to hear about.
Well, I chose medicine as a career because from early on, I wanted to share the gospel. I wanted to share Jesus with others. And so I had chosen medicine as a reasonable way to do that. And I planned to go into mission work. I planned to go overseas and kind of had laid out exactly what I was going to do for God and how I was going to do it and what the time frame would be. He's not always ready for that. You know, he's in charge and we're not, but we forget that sometimes. So I had gone to Lehigh University and had a very close friend there. And several years later, we had considered dating. However, he was Catholic. And that was a challenge for me. I knew his faith. I knew it to be solid. But I really strongly believed in male leadership in the home. I had been taught to date as if you were looking for the person you would marry. And so I didn't feel comfortable dating him if, in fact, I wasn't comfortable also being Catholic. He had actually been to seminary and had had to leave to fulfill an ROTC obligation that had paid for his schooling. And he wasn't sure about whether he would be going back or not. And so we spent the better part of 2 years deciding whether it was okay to date. And in the end, ended up deciding that we were dating just so we could have closure and move on.
Mm-hmm.
But that started my inquiry. I went to RCIA just for a few weeks. I went until it got serious and was progressing more than I was ready for. But I had just done that 1 year and decided that, sure, I could do that if I needed to,
mm-hmm.
and left it there.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled with the authority, whether the authority of the Catholic Church was valid. And if it was, I wanted to submit myself to it. But I didn't know if it was. And so that was an item I needed to pray about. As I've read conversion stories of other Protestants, it seems like the Eucharist as being truly Jesus present with us really wasn't an obstacle. I was raised to read Scripture very literally, and I had read in John that Jesus said, "This is my body and this is my blood," and no one gave me the footnote that was only to be symbolic.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a step for me when I first saw adoration to go that step further and say, wow, it really is. He really is this present. But the concept wasn't far from me.
And then what happened?
Well, I had gone the first time and I dropped out around Christmas time. And for some reason, I just continued to be interested. And so at that time, I was going to Mass and going to church services, Protestant church services in Philadelphia. I was in medical school at the time. And yet just something kept me coming back. I attended some prayer meetings and found that a comfortable place. It seemed an easy place to be introduced into a Catholic parish. The next year, I started in RCIA, but I had set up my schedule so that I was traveling every week, every month, and was in a different location for different rotations. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really have continuity in a single parish. Mm-hmm. And I also spent Easter in Pakistan with a Protestant mission. And so it wouldn't have been an appropriate time to enter the church. And I wasn't ready yet at that point anyway, but I was still looking, and God just wouldn't let me drop it. I really wanted to walk away and be done with it. But that didn't seem what he had in mind.
Was it ever challenging when you're in medical school to keep your faith? I mean, have you ever had attacks on your faith, or have you just had the grace of just knowing it's true and not being shaken by what's around you? Or
I think I always knew it was true. God never gave me doubt there. Yeah. Medical school hospitals are not a supportive place for faith. And so I was challenged to live it and challenged to keep priority and not to become too busy. Mm-hmm. I had a very good support network of friends through our Christian Medical and Dental Society.
Oh, yeah.
And we just kept each other accountable and prayed for each other and really worked to maintain our ministry.
These networks of Christian support groups are sort of all over, and they're wonderful things, aren't they? That even in professions that maybe are dominantly, at least a secular mentality, there's networks of Christians supporting each other.
I wouldn't have been able to do it without that peer support.
So eventually you did become a Catholic. So how did that happen?
Well, my intern year of residency, I was still interested in the Catholic Church. My faculty advisor knew of my interest, and he had been raised Catholic, as had his wife, but they were nominal Catholics. His wife had had an increased interest in her Catholic faith, and she really wanted to go to RCIA to learn, but didn't want to go alone. So he put us together, and she became my sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
And we went together. Uh-huh. And with her encouragement, I stayed the course this time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I would have without her along the way. Mm-hmm. I know I shocked one of our leaders in the RCIA program. About midpoint, he asked us to go around and share where we were in our faith journey. And he got to me and I said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And he just wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
I really was struggling about whether I was following God, whether this was my idea or whether this was really something that Jesus was calling me to. There was enough difference that in some ways I left a lot behind, and I didn't want to do that if that wasn't where God called me. And so I continued to struggle on a level of, you know, God, I think I hear your voice. I'm not sure. I was very uncertain up to very nearly the end. I actually scheduled a week of vacation for Holy Week so I could pray on that decision and just to really focus on that, because I knew I wouldn't be concentrating on anything else that week. That year, they didn't publish in the bulletin who was coming into the church because the bulletin deadline was Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't decide until Wednesday night that I really was coming in that year.
Yeah, okay.
I think the authority was the main deciding factor, but I wanted the Eucharist. You know, by that time, I'd come to believe that Jesus really, really was present in a way that was more than I had imagined, and I wanted that. And whatever it took, if God wanted to be present to us today in the same way that he was present in the Shekinah glory, the glory of the cloud, when he led the Israelites, if he wanted to be that near to us, as he was to them, I wanted it.
It's a beautiful way of saying it, yeah. Well, how's it been?
It's been good. It's been very good. One of my struggles as I considered entering the Catholic Church was that I was sure it was a decision to not marry. It seemed that all the friends I had who were faithful Catholics had already married by that age. Or they were going to be priests. I never quite bought this idea of a priest shortage, because there wasn't a shortage among my acquaintances. And then I ended up coming to Ann Arbor, and I actually met my husband here about 3 years after I entered the church.
Yeah.
I had been reading Ralph's book, What is the Spirit Saying? And The Catholic Church at the End of an Age. And I had wanted to find a place to go to practice where I could grow in my Catholic faith. I'd only been Catholic for 2 years. And I knew that I was just a baby and I needed to develop that. And so I was looking for a place to go where there was a strong Catholic community. I had interviewed at a hospital in Steubenville, but it just didn't really work out for me, and I was still looking for where I could go out of residency. I was in my third year of residency, and it seemed like every time I'd gone to Steubenville for a conference, they would talk about Ann Arbor. And I didn't really know why, but Ann Arbor would come up repeatedly. And I'm like, there's something in Ann Arbor. And as I was reading Ralph's book, I didn't know him. I hadn't met him. He kept footnoting things that were in Ann Arbor. And I was very interested in missions. One of the things I struggled with when I became Catholic was that it was also affecting my career, because as a Protestant, I knew where I was going to go. When
you're
I finished
medical missions, yeah.
I was planning for medical missions, and I had two agencies that I was very interested in, but they were Protestant agencies. Mm-hmm. And I kind of cut those ties when I became Catholic. And in your book, you mentioned evangelism in ways that I could relate to, and it was what I wanted to do. And there's something in Ann Arbor. I need to, you know, find out what that is, and that's how I got involved with Renewal Ministries. But at this point, I was just reading the book, and I had thought about doing an elective in family medicine, and that I'd like to do that in an area where I could check out career opportunities. I needed to pay off some debt, so I couldn't go overseas right away. And so I said, you know, I could do an elective in Ann Arbor. Maybe I'll do that. Mm. And I had a directory from the Christian Medical and Dental Society, and I pulled that out, and I looked up Ann Arbor. And everybody who was listed there looked like they were affiliated with the medical school. And I really wanted a community practice for my elective. And so I found a similar zip code and ended up finding Teresa Peters, who is in Dexter, which turns out to be only about 10 minutes from your home.
Mm-hmm.
And I had sent off a postcard asking you about housing. I thought that the community in Ann Arbor involved people living in community, and wasn't really sure what existed. And I got a call from you one day. I had a pager that was a voice pager, and it said, pick up a call, Ralph Martin. I'm like, that's the author of the book I'm reading. You know, and you had offered me to find a place to stay. And you checked with Anne and called me back. And I ended up staying with you and your family for about a month. And I arranged an elective with this office in Dexter. And stayed for a month. And then as I went through the rest of my year in residency and was thinking about where I wanted to go, I kept thinking back to Dexter and how that had been a good experience. And I ended up joining that practice. I now work for that practice through the University of Michigan. And it started with that month.
Well, good. Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking today to Dr. Michelle Rabideau, who's a family practice physician in Michigan. She's been telling us the beautiful story about how she grew up loving the Lord in an evangelical Protestant family, and how she was led to enter the Catholic Church and led to the Ann Arbor, Dexter, Michigan area. We said before the break, we're going to come back and ask her, well, it's one thing to follow the Lord as a single woman without all those complications, but now you've got a husband, and you've got a boy and two girls, children, and you've got a busy medical practice, and how does that all work together? How do you keep Jesus at the center of your life with all that going on?
I do think it's harder. It's certainly a different challenge. It's a different pace. And I think that I had to shift some of my expectations. It's not common for me to have an uninterrupted hour to pray or to read. So often you have to take what you can find.
Yep.
The most important thing is my husband. He has just gone above and beyond. When we were expecting our first child, Philip, we talked about how we would arrange things. We agreed that we didn't want to use childcare, if at all possible. We don't have family very nearby. We talked about both going part-time. He worked for Ford at the time. But his job
as a
cost estimator, which is an engineering and business kind of position. And his job required unscheduled travel, which I couldn't really accommodate with my clinic schedule. I also deliver babies, and I really enjoy that part of my practice, and I didn't want to give that up. And it's pretty unpredictable, and I didn't have anyone that I was close enough to here that I could just drop an infant on them in the middle of the night and say, don't know when I'll be back. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have that kind of a backup. We didn't have family that nearby.
You should have told us, Michelle. We would have taken the baby. My wife loves babies.
So what we finally decided was that he would stay home and that I would continue in practice. And the funniest thing about that was at the time he thought he was taking an easy out and that I was doing the harder thing. He was very apologetic and, you know, I'm not sure I can do his job. He works a lot harder than he had imagined.
Yeah.
But if he wasn't there providing what he provides and supporting me in the ways that he does, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
Really, most of my responsibilities are at work and enjoying my kids. I picked the fun parts of family, and he really picks up the hard things.
I know you have a missionary heart, and I know that you have a zeal for others to come to know the Lord. I know that you're exercising that in your family with your children. But do you also find opportunities in your practice?
Often. It's surprising how many people come to me with spiritual needs that are more important than their physical needs. And even more surprising how open many of them are. Many of my patients are Christians, and it's just a matter of encouraging them in their faith. But I have people who wouldn't consider going to a pastor or a priest, but that will be quick to share spiritual issues with me as a physician.
How does that happen? They just start talking to you about other stuff besides their medical situation?
Well, one place where it often comes up is regarding family planning.
Yeah.
Often women will come in to discuss that. And when I became Catholic, I made a decision with that I wouldn't prescribe contraception.
Wow.
That decision took me about another year beyond becoming Catholic, but I had stopped prescribing when I was a resident. And so I have to explain that. And people understand that I have some religious reasons for that. And I also try to convey that I really believe that's what's best for them. If it was only a religious thing, then it would only affect me or maybe only Catholics. But I really think that it's better for people, that there's wisdom there. And so, to prescribe contraception to them would be harmful. I use the analogy of cigarette smoking. I have plenty of patients who smoke, but if it required a prescription to get a cigarette lighter, I'd have a problem prescribing that.
Now, your practice is associated with the University of Michigan, and they allow you to exercise this?
They do. I have colleagues in my office who do prescribe contraception, and so patients are free to choose another physician. They have other options available.
But the other physicians accept you taking this stance, and
they've been very supportive.
Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. Yeah. And what happens when you get into these conversations?
Sometimes people will ask me why, and sometimes they just let it go, and that's fine. And if I'm in a hurry, it used to be my short answer was, you know, why I don't prescribe contraception. My response was, well, because I'm Catholic. And I had a patient who said to me, well, I'm Catholic too. So why don't you prescribe contraception?
Yeah.
You know, and she just hadn't had that teaching at all.
Yeah.
Where I had been blessed with it very early in my conversion. Two of my closest friends were couple-to-couple league instructors. And so they had given me lots of information, lots of formation, introduced me to John Paul's theology of the body. I just was blessed with that very early on. And so I just thought that was part of being Catholic.
Now, why don't you prescribe contraception?
Thanks.
give me the
short answer.
Yeah, the medium answer.
The medium answer.
Not the 30-second answer because you're a Catholic, but why don't you think it's good for people?
I think that contraception is an assault on the dignity of women. It assaults who we are. Natural family planning is difficult. Accepting as many children as God sends you is difficult. But both are possible by God's grace. But to deny femininity by suppressing fertility, I think it's harmful. I think it's harmful to the woman. I think it's also harmful to her husband. The availability of contraception has changed relationships, both within marriage and before marriage. And women are much more often taken advantage of. There's less sense of responsibility when they become sexually involved. Certainly less commitment on the part of their partner if they're not married. Probably half of my obstetric practice is women that were using some form of contraception when they conceived.
Oh, yeah.
And they're surprised. Yeah. They're surprised that they had failures of those methods.
Yeah.
And often, if they're not married, their boyfriend is angry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if they hadn't had the assumption that contraception was a good idea and safe, they wouldn't be in that position.
Yeah, yeah.
There also are some medical risks to the hormonal methods of contraception that I don't think we've looked at fully.
Yeah.
I think that what we have learned with hormone replacement after menopause will be found to be even more true of the higher doses we use to prevent pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Michelle, I know that becoming a Catholic has added a dimension or fullness to your faith, but you've really brought something very precious with you that Catholics need. A lot of Catholics, when they think about their responsibility or their mission, think about, well, my job is to go to church and contribute to the collection and be a good example, which is all true and important. But one of the things that Catholics don't understand yet is by virtue just of being a baptized Christian, they have a responsibility to kind of help other people come to know Christ, you know, and the whole missionary spirit is really supposed to be part of Catholic life, you know, and John Paul II says it's supposed to be part of our everyday life. But many Catholics really shy away from those kinds of conversations that you regularly are having with people where other issues get opened up and you talk more about more than just about sports and the weather, but you actually talk about things that are affecting people's lives and knowing that the spiritual dimension and the truth of the faith is really important. And I'm just really glad that you're there doing what you're doing. And even though people, you know, may not be medical doctors who are listening to us, everybody has opportunities to encounter people and conversations get struck up. And it's really important that we Catholics wake up to the fact that we have a missionary vocation, not just over in some foreign land, but right where we are. We're witnesses to Christ, and right where we are, there's opportunities to really help other people come to know Christ by sharing why we're living the life we're living and why we're doing what we're doing. And so that's really an important thing, I think.
I think it's part of being healthy. I don't think that we do any good as physicians if we bring people to physical health without also bringing them to spiritual health. And very often, your spiritual health affects your physical health. One of the worst things that can happen to someone's physical health is divorce. Yet it is at its root not a physical problem. And yet people who have gone through a divorce are much more prone to depression. They're more likely to come in for other ailments, stress-related illnesses, migraine headaches, other things like that that become health issues, even though they didn't begin as what would be considered a health issue.
Michelle, thanks so much for being with us. One of the things that Michelle is trying to do is to walk by the Spirit, to be sensitive to the Spirit when she meets her patients and to see what the deeper needs are, even more than what's being presented, you know, medically and initially. And all of us have opportunities really to share the faith with others. And it takes a little bit, kind of a scary step out of the boat sometimes. And it's something we may not be completely comfortable with, but really, people's eternal destinies are more important than what even happens to them and their earthly well-being. And if we care about friends and family and children and neighbors, we're going to care not just about their getting good jobs and getting good health care, which are all really good things and important, but we're going to care about their soul. We're going to care about their relationship with the Lord. Till next week, this is Ralph Martin and Dr. Michelle Rabideau wishing you the very best. A life that's really healthy, that includes a living, vital relationship with Jesus.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin. Mm-hmm.